Welcome, friends. You're listening to the Swears and Does Hair podcast for bridal hairstylists and makeup artists looking to take their business to new levels. Here we tackle topics such as mindset, finances, balancing business with motherhood, and healthy strategies to keep your body and mind supporting your business rather than holding it back. I'm your host, Sue Minsky, business coach for bridal hairstylists and creator of the Next Level Bridal Business Program. Thanks for joining me. I can't wait to dig into today's topic, so let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Swears and Does Hair podcast. It is your host, Sue Minsky, and this week we are talking about a topic that not a lot of people want to talk about. What happens when you get sick? As a self-employed business owner, we are the lifeblood of our business. And being in the service industry, and particularly in the wedding industry, getting sick or being injured and unable to perform services can wreak absolute havoc on our business. Now, last week's episode, I talked about how to pay yourself a year-end bonus. And I was talking about this emergency fund that you set aside, or what I call my profit account. Okay. And the principles of it is taking times of excess in your business and setting that money aside. At the end of the year, you can pay yourself a year-end bonus. I gave you a couple of tips for how to manage your finances and structure things so that you can make that a reality. The other side of that coin is what happens if you get sick or injured and need to replace yourself on a wedding day, or God forbid you can't find somebody to replace you and you have to give a refund. Are you able to go ahead and do that? Do you have the money to pull from that, or are you just going to be completely fucked? A lot of people I see in Facebook groups and things like that will talk about, you know, do I issue a refund for this bride for this thing, XYZ, whatever. And a lot of their fears about issuing retainers hem from, they don't have that money anymore. You know, they get the retainers, the money comes in, they spend it because they have bills to pay that month. And then they may not work that wedding for 6, 9, 12, 18 months later. And then suddenly, if they can't physically go in and do the work, they were depending on that money, and now that money is not coming in, or God forbid, they have to issue a refund of some kind, and they're not set up properly financially. So when the conversation is kind of happening today, I want you to take apart two different things. I want you to think about, you know, the money side of the thing. Is your finances set up properly? Are you able to have money in reserve for emergencies to issue refunds? And if you don't have to issue a refund, if you're able to have somebody come in and step in for you and you're able to pay them in the retainer side of things, or excuse me, from the balance payment side of things, and you're not able to have to pay any money out of pocket to replace yourself, now what are you going to do about that income? So you want to make sure that you're maintaining your finances properly. And again, last week I kind of talked about those two different resources that I have for helping you learn how to better manage your finances to set that up so you have an emergency fund. Okay, so go back and listen to last week's episode, or go back and watch it on YouTube. I'll make sure to put a link to it in the show notes, and I'll make sure to put a link to it if you're watching this on YouTube. Now, I want to shift the conversation a little bit away from money. I wanted to bring that up just to kind of tie in last week's episode, that's yet another reason why you want to maintain your finances properly, manage your cash flow, things like that, so that you have the money to pay for those types of things. But now, when it comes to the ethical side of how you handle these types of situations and what you need to do to have a system in place to manage these emergencies, let's get into that part of the conversation. So I don't want to just talk about money, because that's a really small part of it. It's an important part, but it's really not the main point of this week's conversation. Okay, so what do you do? Say it is, you know, a Thursday night and you're starting to feel under the weather and you have a wedding coming up on Saturday. What do you do? How do you handle that situation? Most people would kind of really start to freak out at first. But if you have systems in place and, you know, backup people and things like that, it doesn't have to be this end of the world. Yeah, you're probably going to lose out on that money if you don't maintain your finances properly. However, it's more about what are you doing for the bride in that situation? When do you notify her? How do you find coverage? Do you find coverage? You know, just kind of how you handle that situation. There are going to be times where, unfortunately, you get sick. Is it the ethical thing to still show up and do the work when you're sick? I think COVID brought that question up for a lot of people of, okay, well, I don't want to leave the bride high and dry and I don't want to lose out on this money, so I'll work. You know, one of the things that I had in the back of my mind for many years in my career was, you know, if I'm not in the hospital or dead, I'm showing up to that wedding. And that's still to this day a lot of how I view that. But there is certain circumstances that have made me kind of reevaluate of, you know, is this really in my best interest professionally to still show up and do this work and potentially expose people to different things? And COVID was kind of one of those eye openers of, well, sometimes if you have communicable diseases that you could potentially pass on to other people, you have to have some kind of system in place for maintaining that and for managing it. Even though COVID might not be a thing, so to speak, it's not this worldwide pandemic that's shutting things down, you know, is it still ethical if you come back with a COVID test to show up and at what point? And do you just wear a mask and things like that? So whenever it comes down to those type of things, what I want you to do in order to better prepare yourself is kind of just make yourself a little list, all right? I want you to think about what types of situations where you will still show up and what are non-negotiables for you? Like, what do you just not feel ethically comfortable with still showing up and potentially exposing people to it? What type of situations, whether at home with family members or whatnot, where that's a non-negotiable, you can't show up, you have to cancel and you have to replace yourself on a wedding day. What are those type of situations? So you're not playing catch up when these type of things happen. And just because it's never happened to you before doesn't mean that it will never happen. You could have been in business for, you know, I think I was in business for 14 years, 13 years before COVID became a thing. Just because, you know, I had been in business and never had that situation happen for 13 years doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. It suddenly happened and I needed to adapt to it. So instead of being reactive, we can be proactive. We can say, these are the types of situations where I will still show up. And these are the type of situations where, no, I have to find coverage for myself. Knowing that will set you up for how you handle it when it happens so much better, because you already know what category you're kind of going in. You already know where, okay, you know what? I have strep throat, but I've been on antibiotics for more than 24 hours. And if I wear a mask, I know that I'm not contagious anymore because I'm on the antibiotics. And I'm going to take the extra step of wearing a mask around people and making sure I stay really hydrated and whatever. I'm still going to show up and I'm going to do it. If that's the decision that you make, and I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't, those kinds of things, that's a very personal type of decision that you need to make for yourself. Okay. I'm not going to tell you what decision to make. I'm just going to be here today to kind of help you to formulate a plan, you know, and a step-by-step, and to help you prepare for these type of situations when they happen. All right. So decide what situation you will show up, what situation you won't show up. And now when it comes down to a situation where you're not going to show up, okay, we've moved on into that category. How are we going to handle things from them? What are you going to do first? Who are you going to contact first? Those type of things. So first tip that I recommend is have a network of people that you can call on. So you're not just messaging strangers randomly on Instagram and asking a million people, hey, are you available? Can you fill in for me? All right. A couple weekends ago, there was somebody in our area. They had an assistant who, you know, was sick and was just like, yeah, I can't be there tomorrow. Okay. And she had less than 24 hours. And I heard about it through the grapevine because she was messaging all these other people and I'm in all these different group chats from our little local area. And I was finding out about it that way. That is like, that should really kind of be a last resort. You should have kind of like your go-to people that you can speak to and ask. All right. So step one is to build a really strong local network of people that you can call on in times of emergency. If you need to replace yourself, who are your go-to people that you can contact? All right. And then you can expand from there. But just kind of like randomly messaging anybody that you can find is not a great first step. You're going to be spinning your wheels. You're going to be putting your business reputation on the back of people that you've never even met before. All right. It's not a really healthy first step. That may have not been her first step. That may have been like a third or fourth step or whatever, a last stitch effort. But first should be go to that network. Also, start building an extended network. Know who all the people that you possibly can in your area is and kind of group them into like your A list, your B list, your C list, your D list kind of thing. Get to know your quote unquote competition, all right? Who performs the same quality of work that you do? Who services the same type of brides? They may not have to be necessarily on your referral list, but you should know who they are and how to contact them. And they should have at least had some type of conversation with you once before. I recommend building a strong referral network as well at the same time. Okay. So when you're reaching out and you're introducing yourself to these types of people, come at it from a point of let's build a community so we can be each other's backup. And if I'm not available, I can refer you and things like that. Rising tide lifts all ships kind of mentality. So it's going to help you in the long run to grow your business, to grow your referrals, but it's also going to help to save your ass in types of situations like this where you're sick or you need to replace yourself. Okay, so you've got your list and you have the people that you are contacting. I highly recommend not speaking to the bride and letting her know about the situation until you already have a solution. Imagine being a bride and tomorrow is your wedding and your hairstylist or your makeup artist contacts you and says, hey, I'm not feeling good or I have XYZ situation. I'm not able to show up for your wedding tomorrow, but don't worry, I'm working on it. That's not going to inspire the same level of confidence as, you know, hey, here's the situation. Don't worry, I've already found somebody to replace myself with. You don't need to stress. You don't need to worry, but I wanted to let you know now. So I'm, you know, on the last minute on the morning, there isn't somebody else showing up. Okay. You're being proactive rather than reactive. If you can't show up for a wedding day, you should always be trying to replace yourself. You should not be putting the onus on the bride to find a replacement. The bride should not be freaking the fuck out, contacting a bunch of people on Instagram, posting in Facebook groups going, oh my God, my hairstylist just backed out on me. She's not going to be able to show up on Saturday. What can I do? Is anybody still available? Okay. You want to be professional about it. If you can't show up, you need to find a way to replace yourself. And the same thing goes for like if you're running a team. Okay. So one of my one-on-one coaching students, we were talking about, you know, the healthy way to build and to grow a team. And one of the first things that I talked with her about on that topic was make sure that she is not overbooking her staff. That in times of emergency, she has built in people who can cover for things. All right. So when it comes time to think about growing a team or starting to build a team from scratch, don't overbook them. Don't get greedy and really back yourself up against a wall where, you know, you don't have any place to pivot. You don't have any room for, negotiating when it comes to an emergency. You don't have an extra hairstylist or an extra makeup artist, or you're just booking just hair people and you're just booking just makeup people. And you don't have people who can be flexible and do a little bit of both kinds of things. So when it comes to building your team, that's definitely something to keep in mind. You know, how are you going to be able to replace staff? Are you able to do so within your company? Or are you going to have to go like a solopreneur and have that referral list, that A-list to contact and to call first? But still, same thing. If you're having to replace yourself or another team member on a wedding day, you need to have a solution in place beforehand. I've definitely been a part of many conversations over the last several years of people needing to replace an artist on a wedding day. And one of my first thoughts is, why is the artist not trying to replace themselves? Why is the bride trying to do this for her? And yes, I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, sometimes, you know, the bride doesn't want my replacement, or she takes it upon herself and things like that. Yes, that can happen. But your first step as a business owner should be to find the replacement. Okay, so now we kind of get into the conversation of, well, what do you do if the bride doesn't like your replacement? How do you handle that? So your contract is really going to be where you need to think about these things. And these types of things need to be in your contract. And this is why you need to have an actual lawyer write your contract. You should be not using, you know, something that you found on Google or a free contract that somebody in a Facebook group was like, oh, I'll send you my contract. Like, no. If they're willing to send you their contract, they did not pay an actual lawyer to write that contract. You are playing Russian roulette with the contract that you're getting from somebody else on a free Facebook group. Okay. They're just going to give you this contract. No, somebody paid $400, $500, $600, $1,000 to have a lawyer write that, or they bought a template and had their lawyer review it. They ain't giving you that shit for free. Nobody is that altruistic, okay? Nobody is giving away a copy of a contract that they spent their hard-earned money on and that they spent a lot of hard-earned money on, okay? Nobody's giving away that shit for free. And educators out there, they should not be giving you contracts as well. If they are trying to sell you contracts and they are not a lawyer, they are misrepresenting themselves and trying to give you legal advice, all right. They can be an affiliate. Like, I'm an affiliate for the legal page. Okay. So I use her contracts in my own business. I just had to do a cease and desist letter for somebody who decided that instead of making up their own educational materials, they were just going to buy mine and fucking resell them. So I had to get a cease and desist letter from the legal page and send that out to them. So, you know, that's a fun situation I just had to deal with. So when I say I use the legal page, I use Page's contract templates and things like that. And then I pay to have, you know, my own lawyer make adjustments and stuff like that. I mean it. Like, I'm really using it. And that's why I recommend hers. There's a bunch of other people that do those kinds of things because I use and I trust her. That's why I recommend to students. I'm an affiliate. So when I send you a referral link and I say, hey, here's the link to something from Paige. She already has that template created. I get an affiliate commission, but I'm not turning around and trying to resell them. No lawyer is going to give you a contract template that you can turn around and sell for a couple $100 to your own students, or even $100 to your own students or whatever, when they could be the one who's taking on the legal responsibility for writing that contract. Okay. So again, that's just kind of something to kind of keep in mind. It's a little side note there when it comes to contracts. But you want to look at your contract. What does your contract say about replacing yourself? What legal standing do you have if the bride doesn't agree with that? If the bride is like, well, no, I paid you. I want you to come and do that. Is she more dead set on you being the one? And, you know, if you're like, well, I'm not showing up, instead of taking a replacement and being able to get somebody to still do her hair or to do her makeup for her or her bridal party or whoever, she's more focused on, well, I wanted it to be you and nobody else is good enough, in a way that's nice for our egos, but it's horrible for our business, because now she's going to have a lot of pushback. She's going to try and get her money back. Make sure that your T's are crossed, your I's are dotted, that everything in your contract is above board. How is that retainer going to be handled? Your contract should lay that out. Do you have the right to replace yourself? And how are you phrasing that? That you can just pull any person off the street and the bride has to accept that? Does the bride have the right of refusal? If you can't find a replacement, how does balance payments or retainers get handled? Things like that. All of this should be taken care of and laid out very, very clearly in your contract before you ever even get sick. Before you ever even need to replace an artist on a wedding, all of this should be laid out. So it's super important to make sure, again, we're talking about being proactive. Have all of your ducks in a row before you start booking weddings, all right? Moving forward, if you don't have these systems in place for yourself, get them in place now. Just because you've never been sick before doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Just because you've never had an assistant not show up on the day of doesn't mean it's never going to happen. Have your ducks in a row. Have it in writing, on paper. The bride's already agreed to it. She signed off on it. You're both are very clear on how this process is going to work. All right. So that's it for today's episode. We talked a little bit about money, making sure that you have enough money set aside that you can pay somebody else their fees. If you have to find coverage and they're more expensive and your balance payments doesn't cover that, you're going to have to take some money out of your pocket. Are you still able to pay yourself a salary that month? The emergency fund, super, super important piece of the puzzle. And then the rest of the conversation is really about, what is your system that you have in place? What are your non-negotiables? What are you willing to work within? Who is going to be the people that you contact? What is your solution going to be? And then how do you protect yourself legally in those instances? So thank you so much for listening. We're not going to be doing any more of the affirmations for the rest of this season. We'll maybe get back to those next season. If you really want the affirmations to come back, send me a DM on Instagram. I would love to know, is that a piece of the podcast that you are really loving and that you want to have continue to be a part of it? I'm getting ready. This is episode 69. There is one more left, episode 70, for season number 2. And then we're taking a little bit of a break for early fall, and we're coming back sometime in October or November. I haven't set in stone what the season 3 release date for episode number 71 is going to be. So I've got a couple of weeks off. If you're watching on YouTube, I will have some filler content on YouTube. I have a couple of different videos that I've put together. If I can make it to 1,000 followers on YouTube, I'm going to be putting some of my masterclasses as content on there as well. So make sure that if you want some of my masterclasses and you want to be able to access those for free, go ahead and make sure that you're following me on YouTube. Share and recommend the channel to everybody. If we can get to 1,000 followers, I'll start putting some of that in, some of that content as well. So there is going to be stuff on the YouTube channel during the break, but on Spotify podcast, you know, just the audio versions of the podcast, there is going to be a break. I think it's going to be about 6 weeks long. Four weeks long, and I'm still undecided. So just a quick note about that. And then if you have stuff that you want me to talk about for next season, I'm still in planning mode. That's why I have to take that kind of like that couple of weeks off. I do have a lot of planning that needs to go into creating the podcast. So if you have guests that you want me to have, I didn't do as many guests during season two. I did a lot of them during season one. So you can go back and you can re-listen to old episodes. Or if there are people that you want me to interview coming up, send me a DM. Comment below if you're watching this on YouTube. Let me know who you would like me to interview or topics that you would like to hear me discuss. Do we like the affirmations? Yay, nay, come on. Give me a little bit of feedback. Let me know, because this podcast, the entire reason that I create this is to help you, to help the bridal hairstylist and makeup artist create a profitable and sustainable business that not only funds their life, but gives them the freedom that they always imagined that they would have as a self-employed business owner. If your goals are just to make money or just to do hair or just to do makeup, you can very easily do that by working for somebody else. But you chose to be a small business owner and do this for yourself. And so I'm creating all the content that I can to help you do that the most effective way possible, to make you the most money, to give you the most amount of freedom in your time, to inspire you, to help you to create better systems, to help you be more proactive in your business versus reactive. So I want to know, what do you need help with? And I will help to create content so that I can put that tools in your hands and help you be better prepared. So thank you so much for supporting the channel. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast and my educational business. I love you. And I will see you back next week for the final episode of season two. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you feel empowered, knowledgeable, and capable of handling anything that your business throws your way. Don't forget to subscribe to get access to new episodes as they are released each week on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Love today's episode? Let me know. Leave me a review and tell me what your biggest takeaway was from the conversation. Have a request for a future topic or someone you'd like to hear me interview? Find me on Instagram at beautybizcollective and drop me a DM. And if you're hungry for more actionable content to help you grow your bridal business, go to www.swearsanddoeshair.com/bookmorebrides to sign up for my free on-demand training and learn how to book better quality brides faster, easier, and with less stress.